please remain standing for our scripture reading out of reverence for God's word. And it's really a rather short reading today from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. And there the apostle Paul writes, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Here ends our reading. This time I'll invite Pastor Jonathan Abel to come forward and to share the word of God with us. Thank you for coming and for being with us here today.
Good morning. It's a great day that God's given us to be here. I was thinking yesterday as I was driving across the state, if you want to make me happy, tell me to take a road trip. And if you want to make me really happy, tell me to take a road trip through North Dakota. Now that may sound strange to most Americans, but I live in North Dakota. I was a pastor in Eastern North Dakota. I went to college at NDSU, and I've traveled across the state in every kind of weather and situation, and at daytime and at nighttime. One time I was crossing the state, and the northern lights were just fantastic one time. And so you live in a beautiful part of the world, and there's no doubt about it. I love the plains, so, you know, if you love the plains, then you're in a beautiful part of the world. And so I'm really glad to be with you here this morning. We've had this week we were in Washington, state of Washington, and then we flew back Friday night and got things ready, got home about 3 in the afternoon on Friday, got everything ready to come out this way yesterday and then be with you here today. Yeah, we live in a land of freedom, and this weekend is a time when we think about that, and it's a wonderful thing. And I live in a country today, too, in Brazil, which we have a lot of freedoms. We've had a lot of freedoms up till now. There's a lot trying to curb those freedoms, but it's really beautiful. I live in a part of Brazil, southern Brazil, where the agriculture is very much like here. And the land is not, it's a little more hilly than here. It's more like southern Minnesota or Wisconsin. But it's very beautiful and stuff. But when I was a kid, it was all jungle, okay? And I live in a city today that was started in 1948. And in 1948, they cut out the jungle and started building this town. And I just had a few homes and stuff. Today it has 450,000 people. Totally different, full of skyscrapers and stuff. The city that we are in with our seminary and orphanage is 50 miles from there. And that city too was started in 1948. And today it has about 100,000 people. And it has the largest soybean cooperative of the world. That cooperative in that city marks the price of grain throughout the world. It's between Chicago and there that they mark the price of grain all over the world. So it's just amazing the development of the country of Brazil. And one of the joys I have is when I live in this one city that's got 450,000 and I work in both places, and it's about a 50-mile drive. And for quite a few years, there was no paved road to these two cities. And we had to go from one to the other on dirt roads, a lot of dust. One time, you know, they basically cut the road out of the, you know, just make a path. But there was no ditches, so the road was in the ditch. Dad said the road was in the ditch. And the dust was so great that he ran into the bank because he couldn't see that there was a bank there, you know. Boom, and stuff. And it would take us 5 hours to go these 50 miles between the two cities. Today, it takes me about 45 minutes max and stuff. And it's a four-lane highway now, and you almost fall asleep on the road. It's so nice. And so this is a great development that has happened and stuff. But we're there proclaiming the word of God. And Brazil is a country that definitely needs the Lord. I wouldn't say that America doesn't need the Lord, too. America needs the Lord. But what is the greatest thing about having the Lord is that he frees us from sin. He frees us from the thing that causes us to to be bound by so many things. And I have seen this all over. When I was in the universities in Fargo and Moorhead, there were a lot of kids living in bondage, living in, you know, sin. And it was a terrible thing. But God came to free us. You know, it doesn't please God that we are separated from Him. It hasn't pleased Him since Adam and Eve sinned. And right then, He made a way for them to be free and for us to be free. And as we share this, we have to remember a few things. The mission that God has called us to do is not our mission, but it's His mission. He's called us. And many times I think about this and I think of myself. I'm a guy that likes tools. I don't know how many men here like tools. Women, how many women here like tools? I like tools. And I like tools that have multi-purpose. I bought a wrench the other some time ago that it was, I'm forgetting the name of it in English now, but it's called an English wrench in Portuguese, but it's not called the same here. But it's an adjustable wrench that now it has this, I can't remember the name of this thing, so you can lock it so it doesn't move. And it was a really good tool because every time I would use them, they would come out of adjustment and slip. You could get pretty hurt when it slipped and stuff if you were doing something serious. And I think of myself like that. I'm a tool, multi-purpose tool in God's hands, but I'm not a perfect tool. You know, I can slip up once in a while and stuff. And God is still patient and loving and kind to use me anyway. And He uses all of us. He wants to use us. If you know Him, He wants to use you to bring His saving message to mankind. And I think of all the things that we do, because if you know, we want to invite you to stay afterwards, have coffee, and see some slides of where we work, and I think you're going to be pretty impressed of the difference or how things are there. But maybe not difference, how much alike America to America it is. But the thing that is important to see is that God loves us, and He has a plan for our lives. And so He uses us. And we do a lot of things to try to attract people to the gospel. We're a very active group, an active church, an active ministry. Since I came to the States, my people have done, I think, about 4 or 5 special programs in the church since I've been in the States. So I'm not there. They don't have a pastor there. And they're still working like crazy to attract people to the gospel. But there's nothing greater to attract people to the gospel than the way we live. The way we live. And so today I want to share a few things that is part of God. That's the way God does things, that He also invites us to do the same. Invites us to do the same. And actually, we should do the same. Because if He's our Father and we're His children, we should be displaying His characters to mankind. And so, as we do His mission, we want to remember a few things. First of all, His unconditional love. His unconditional love. In Romans chapter 5, we see that God says the following. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The words that God uses here through the Apostle Paul is that we are sinners, we are enemies, we are not nice people towards God. Now, think about it. If we were nice people, we would never do anything wrong. Have you ever done anything wrong? If you've never done anything wrong, you're a really nice person. But I would venture to say we've all done something wrong. And we constantly do wrong, no matter how well we try to not do things wrong. We fail. And that displeases God. But yet, while we were in this state, as sinners and as his enemy, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. When Adam and Eve sinned, we became separated from God. And now we all stand in a state of condemnation, but he who is in Christ Jesus is not condemned. So God has made a way of salvation for us. He's made a way for us to be free from the stronghold of Satan. He's made a way for us to be free from all that is evil. And so God wants us to also show this unconditional love to mankind. Some pastors have this saying, the ministry would be a wonderful thing if it weren't for the people. Well, that's true about anything in life, right? Doesn't matter what you do, what kind of work you're in and stuff, you know. But the fact is that people are there. And everybody's important. Everybody's important to God. And so he shows us unconditional love, and he asks us to show unconditional love as well. In fact, this is a really difficult thing for us. You know, it's a really difficult thing because we tend to be partial and stuff. But God wants us to give up partiality and love people in spite of themselves and in spite of ourselves, to love unconditionally. And this is something that we need to exercise. The second thing that God wants to teach us is to sacrifice unconditionally. Think about what God sacrificed for you and for me. He looked at our situation and knew we needed to be saved. So he made a plan, and that plan cost him a lot. That plan cost him his beloved son. And he knew that he was sending his son on a mission that was really, really difficult. In Philippians chapter 2, we see that Jesus fulfills this mission. And it says here that, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being formed in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every tongue will confess from heaven and below that he is Lord. So, what do we see here? That Jesus came out of this comfort zone of heaven, out of the greatness of heaven, and made himself to be man. And not only that, the lowest on probably the man's totem pole. Okay? Jesus was born in extreme poverty, lived all his life in poverty, and died a miserable death. And he did this for you and for me. It was a great, great sacrifice. And he wasn't sacrificing himself because we were nice people and deserved that somebody die in our place. He was doing it while we were yet his enemies. While we were yet his enemies. It's hard to think about. Think about somebody that you may not like. Think about somebody that frustrates you. Think about somebody that causes life to be difficult for you, that you wish this person was out of your life. And then think about what it means to love him unconditionally or love her unconditionally, to sacrifice some of your goodness for this person. That's what God did for us. That's what he wants us to do for them. To serve him with gladness, to follow him and stuff. He says, have this mind which was also in Christ Jesus. Not an easy thing to do. Not an easy thing to do. But God calls us to do that. And so we are to do that. And the third thing is unconditional giving. God gave his son, not based on the condition, but it was unconditional giving. He gave his son as a ransom for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, that we might become righteous, and that we become his children, and that we might live with him forever. It's unconditional giving. You know, America has had a history of, we call it a Judeo-Christian heritage. This Judeo-Christian heritage has given us something very unique. The Judeo-Christian heritage has made of us a generous people, a generous people. And even those who don't follow Christ sometimes have this vestige of Christianity in them to be generous. And this is one of the gifts that God has given to this country. So, for instance, I think of, like, you know, obviously per capita, Norway gives more towards the work of the gospel than United States. But in quantity, because of the amount of Christians in this country, this is a country that most supports Christian works around the world like no other. And God has blessed this country for it, has blessed this country. And I believe that if the church continues to live this way, God will continue to bless this country. Seems like a simple thing. But he says if we're faithful to him in these things, in the little things, he will bless us in the much. And America has been great for that. I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord that I'm a part of that and stuff. And I praise the Lord that I can be a receptor of the blessing as well. And so we want to continue doing that. God gave unconditionally to us that we might become his children, that we might be saved. Now he calls us to be give unconditionally. One thing in my life, I do not own a house. I've never owned a house. I probably will never own a house. But I have helped build houses for other people. I have given money so that other people could have a house. I don't have a house, but I've given money for other people to have a house. Because I think it's important that people have their house and stuff. And when I help some people that are in dire necessity of a place to live, it's a joy to be able to have a house. That's a thing. God wants us to be cheerful givers. And it's a real privilege to work with so many poor people and see how generous they are, how faithful to the Lord they are. And so I praise the Lord for them, and I praise the Lord for, you know, his church. And we need to continue to do this from generation to generation. Since the 80s, things have changed a lot in the Christian church. And there's a lot more of me and less of others. And we need to get back to others and less of me. Not that God doesn't want to bless you, because he promises to bless you. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 67, you know, be gracious unto me, you know, and bless me that I might bless the nations. And so there's a reason why he asks for that. God knows what the people need. God knows what his church needs. And he wants us to be a people of generosity. Yes, we are to be good stewards of God's money, you know, so, but we are also to be generous. So if somebody comes up to you and begs for something and God puts it in your heart to give, give. Don't start trying to analyze it. Well, you know, if I give to this person is going to use it for the wrong things. That's casting a judgment on that person, which you don't have to judge them because they're already judged and that's why they're in their situation. But that person might really have a legitimate need, might be needing something, and he's asking you for it, and it's your time to shine. So do that for the Lord. Give God the glory. Whatever the person does with that which you give him is that person's responsibility. But your responsibility is to obey the Lord and bless the person. So God has given us three things. He's given us his love unconditionally. He's given us his sacrifice unconditionally. And he's given us so many other things unconditionally. You think about it. God, what does God give us? Not based on who we are. He gives us food. He gives us clothing. He gives us a job. He gives us other things. And sometimes he even gives us toys and stuff. God is good. God is good. So we want to be good as well. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So I praise the Lord for what he has done and what he is doing. And if we're faithful people to him, he will continue to bless and he will continue to guide us and he will continue to use us for his honor and his glory. And the world will know that he is who he is because of our lives. So think about that. Put that in your heart. Trust the Lord and let him do his work in you. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we praise you for who you are. Lord, and you said if whoever believes in me will have eternal life. And God, you just want to do so many things in our life. Help us to be your instruments, your tools in your hands. Though we're not perfect, we can do great and awesome things if we let you work with us and through us, Lord. So I pray that you would just motivate us to really want to serve you, Lord. In whatever capacity we have, wherever we are, whatever we do, Lord, that we would give you honor and glory with our lives. That you might be exalted in the world. That you might be exalted in this land. And that this land might retain her freedom because of you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.